Greetings and peace in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and welcome to Sound Doctrine, a radio ministry committed to preaching, teaching, and reaching. Our sermon today will come from Philippians chapter 1, verse 25 through chapter 2, verse 18. The sermon today will be based on the Apostle Paul's letter to the saints at Philippi, and we will focus specifically on chapter 1, verse 25 through chapter 2, verse 18. And what I want to share with you today is a Christian state of mind. Again, that is a Christian state of mind based on Philippians chapter 1, verse 25 through Philippians chapter 2, verse 18. Now, as we consider this, I want to call your attention to who we're talking about and what we're talking about. And I don't mean in terms at this juncture, I'm not referring to the author of the letter, as it were, but I am referring to the topic itself. That is this Christian state of mind that I want to share with you. And when we speak of identifying the who is the Christian. And this is what I want to emphasize as it relates to this sermon. We're speaking about a Christian. A Christian is we know and should know and understand is one who professes belief in the teaching of Jesus Christ, one who has faith and who follows the Lord Jesus Christ. A Christian is a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. So when we speak of a Christian, we are speaking in terms of a believer in Jesus Christ. So this is who we're talking about when we speak of a Christian state of mind. And then it's important for us to understand, if we were to put it in the context of an adjective or be more descriptive of the Christian or Christianity, then we would know that when we speak of a Christian, then we are speaking of someone or something in relation to Christianity. We're talking about conforming with Christianity, what Christianity represents. We're speaking of someone who understands what it means to be a Christian, and that is the responsibility of believing in Christ and following Christ, or the responsibility that comes with believing in Christ and following Christ. So there's an identity. There's an identity. There is the person, and it's not just the person, but it also is descriptive of who that person is or how that person lives. So we're speaking of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, a believer in Jesus Christ, and how that is manifested in one's life. And this is what we're talking about and who we're talking about when we speak of being a Christian. And then there's also the understanding of having concern for others, or how we treat others. And that is, again, a way of describing a Christian. A Christian has an identity, and a Christian should be and can be identified not just based on their profession of belief or his or her profession of belief, but also in the way that this person lives. So we're talking about the who, the Christian, and also how this person lives according to what they profess to believe. And then we're talking about the what, the state of mind. So when we talk about a Christian state of mind, then we are not just describing a person, but we're also now being more specific as it relates to the state of mind that is exhibited or demonstrated by this person. So when we speak of the Christian state of mind, then again, we're speaking of a Christian's mood. And this is what is communicated as it relates to a state of mind, a person's mood, and the effect that mood has on the person's thinking and behavior. So this is what I want to emphasize here is not just the mood, but the effect that this mood has on how a person thinks and how a person behaves. That is, how you think and how you live, what you think and what you do. And as an old preacher said before, we may not be what we think we are, but we are what we think. So when we look at this state of mind, as the Cambridge English Dictionary describes, and we're talking about a person's mood and the effect that that mood has on a person's thinking and behavior, and we are speaking specifically in relation to the Christian. We're talking about a Christian state of mind. And then Merriam-Webster defines a state of mind as a person's emotional state. You know, we know about the ebbs and the flows of life, and it's so important for us to understand when we speak of a Christian state of mind that what we should expect when it comes to a Christian state of mind is consistency. The Christian state of mind is a state of mind that should be constant, it should be steadfast, it should be a mindset that is fixed and firm and trusting in the foundation according to what we say we believe and who we say we believe in more specifically. So this connection between our thoughts and our behavior, between who we are and how we live, all of this is tied up and should be demonstrated or should be on full display when we speak about the Christian state of mind. So as we continue on, we can understand, as the Collins Dictionary describes, the state of mind is your mood or mental state at a particular time. And some of the words that are associated with this, or synonymous, if you will, are attitude and perspective, outlook and approach. So when we consider the Christian state of mind, this is, again, what we should consider, and this is what we should consider more specifically as it relates to a Christian. What is it about a Christian and the Christian's mood and mental state? And this says, again, according to the Collins Dictionary, at a particular time, what was your state of mind when you did such and such? Or what were you thinking when you made this decision, and so on and so forth? But again, what should set the Christian apart when we deal with what this truly represents is the attitude, perspective, outlook, and approach of the Christian should be consistent. And it should be consistent because our faith is consistent. Our state of mind should be consistent because the Lord in whom we trust is faithful and his word is sure, and therefore we know that there is consistency and there is a firmness. We have a fixed faith. We have steadfast devotion. And so when we, again, speak of the attitude and perspective of the outlook and the approach concerning the Christian state of mind, then our attitude and our perspective should be based on who we believe in and what he says and whether or not we trust in what he communicates in his word, specifically Jesus Christ and the Lord our God, our Heavenly Father. So as we again continue, finally, how this state of mind is described according to the Law Dictionary. The Law Dictionary says that the state of mind consists of the thoughts and mental condition of a person at a particular time or during some event which may affect or not affect the manner in which that person reacts to a situation. And I hope that you can understand why I'm emphasizing this, because when we consider the Law Dictionary and the terminology that is used or the definition that is communicated in the Law Dictionary, it's important to understand not just the thoughts or the mental condition at a particular time or a particular event, but the way that we react to a situation. And when we consider the Christian state of mind, that's really what this letter is about. And when we consider the words of the Apostle Paul, this really has to do with how we react and how the believers react, not just based on their own experiences and circumstances, but also based on the experiences and the circumstances, the conditions, the current state of the apostle himself. And that is the Apostle Paul. So the Apostle Paul, as he communicates in this letter to the saints at Philippi, as he communicates with the bishops and deacons here at Philippi, as he seeks to encourage them, it makes it that much more important for us to understand why he emphasizes joy and rejoicing. And that is because he places the emphasis on joy and rejoicing despite the circumstances, despite the situation, and not just the one that he himself is experiencing, but also the one that the believers are experiencing as those who are Christians, those who profess belief in Jesus Christ and his teaching, and those who understand that they have responsibility, those who trust in the scripture, those who conform to what it means to be a Christian, to follow Christ, those who know how we are called to treat others and have a concern for others, those who affirm that what they profess is true, those who understand that their circumstances must not cause them to waver in their thinking and their behavior, those who understand that their attitude and their perspective, their outlook and their approach is all based on the certainty of their faith in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is what we're talking about when we talk about a Christian state of mind. And this is what the Apostle Paul was addressing when he communicated this letter to the saints at Philippi. So we look now more specifically at what this letter is about as we make our way through the passage of scripture in Philippians chapter 1, verse 25, starting at verse 25. So as communicated in the King James version here, you know, one of the things that stands out before we move through this passage of scripture, as we talked about joy and rejoicing, that many already understand the Apostle Paul communicates in this letter, it's important also to understand that this is a letter of confidence. It's a letter in which the Apostle Paul speaks of confidence. We look in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, and the Apostle Paul says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." So it's a letter of confidence. The Apostle Paul then goes on to express confidence in Philippians chapter 1, verse 14, where he speaks of many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident by my bonds are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So he's speaking of the brethren who were even more confident because of the Apostle Paul's situation to be bold in their speech, because the Apostle Paul was found himself at the time in bonds, literally in bonds. And then in chapter 1, verse 25, where we will speak to even more, the Apostle Paul speaks of his confidence that he will remain or abide with the saints at Philippi for their good. And this again is his confidence. He says in chapter 2, verse 24, "But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly." And this trust is actually the same word that is communicated as confidence, or translated as confidence. So this trust that he expresses in Philippians chapter 2, verse 24, is the same word that's used to communicate confidence. And then in Philippians chapter 3, verse 3, as we talk about the confidence that is expressed in this letter, the Apostle Paul says, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." So in the context of confidence in this verse, then the Apostle Paul is speaking of a healthy lack of confidence, where he is speaking of not having confidence in the flesh, because the flesh cannot please God and cannot attain the righteousness that God requires. And therefore, there must be the understanding that only by grace through faith can we be saved, and can we truly worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. So there's no confidence in the flesh in this case, but the other times that the Apostle Paul communicates confidence, he is not communicating confidence in himself. He is communicating confidence in the Lord and in the will and the work and the purpose of God. And then in Philippians chapter 3, verse 4, the Apostle Paul says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. And so the Apostle Paul is sort of making this counter argument concerning the flesh, that although he has no confidence in the flesh, those who are trying to insisting that they have attained the righteousness that God requires according to the flesh, the Apostle Paul is saying, if anyone could trust in the flesh, I could trust in the flesh, but I found that I have no confidence in the flesh, because I realize that no matter how good I think I am, no matter how much I think that I've gained, no matter how much righteousness I feel that I have, all of those things are nothing to me, because I must attain the knowledge of Christ Jesus. And attaining the knowledge of Christ Jesus is true salvation and the true righteousness of God by faith, through faith in Christ. And so this is what the Apostle Paul speaks of in this letter. It's a letter not just of joy and rejoicing, but it is a letter of confidence. And it is a letter of the right kind of confidence. That is confidence in the Lord. And then the emphasis on not having confidence in the flesh, because the flesh cannot please God, and the flesh cannot attain or accomplish or achieve the righteousness that God requires. The only way to be right with God is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you and I are made right with God. We believe God and we trust in his Son, Jesus Christ, and we are declared right or righteous. God renders his verdict that we are then just, because we turn from sin and we trust in Jesus. Jesus alone. Jesus alone. So this letter that is communicated by the apostle again speaks of confidence, but he also speaks of the gospel. And the gospel is communicated in Philippians chapter 1, verse 5. Anytime you're going to talk about faith, you got to talk about the gospel. And the Apostle Paul links up faith and emphasizes faith in the gospel in this gospel journey, not just as it applies to himself, but as it applies to the believers, the saints, the church at Philippi. So in Philippians chapter 1, verse 5, he says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. He speaks of their fellowship, the partnership, the communion in the gospel. So it is a letter in which the Apostle Paul expresses the fellowship in the gospel. And then in verse 7, he says, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. So he speaks of the defense and confirmation of the gospel. And then in verse 12, he says, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. So he speaks of the furtherance of the gospel. You see how this this theme, this emphasis concerning the gospel is continued throughout the opening of this letter in particular, but he also communicates in verse 27 in Philippians chapter 1, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And again, he speaks of the faith of the gospel. So the gospel is certainly emphasized in this letter. And you look at chapter 2, verse 22, where he says, but ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the father, he had served with me in the gospel. And in this case, Paul is referring to Timothy. And so he's speaking of Timothy serving with him in the gospel. So he's speaking of the faith. He's speaking of the furtherance. He's speaking of the defense and confirmation of the gospel. He's speaking of Timothy, who has served with him in the gospel. He speaks of fellowship in the gospel. In chapter 4, verse 3, he speaks again, and he says, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. So again, he's speaking of those who labored with him in the gospel. And then in chapter 4, verse 15 in Philippians, he says, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. So again, he speaks of in the beginning of the gospel. So this is a letter of joy and rejoicing. It is a letter of confidence. It is a letter of the gospel. It is a letter that again emphasizes the gospel, and the gospel not just as it pertains to the Apostle Paul, but also as it pertains to the believers, the saints, the church at Philippi. And then it is a letter dealing with the mind. And that's where we are. This is what we're emphasizing, is the state of mind, and more specifically, a Christian state of mind in relation to the Apostle Paul's letter here in Philippians chapters 1 and 2. And when we look at how the Apostle Paul speaks concerning the mind in this letter, Philippians chapter 2, verse 2, for example, where he speaks of being like-minded and of one mind. And then Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, where he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then in Philippians chapter 3, verse 15, he says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything, in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. So he continues and he communicates in Philippians chapter 3, verse 16, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. And then in verse 19, he says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. So this is a recurring message here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 2. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. So we have this emphasis again on joy and rejoicing, on confidence, on the gospel, and on the mind. And this last area is what we are going to emphasize, a Christian state of mind. So let me start with a question for you. How do you identify yourself as a Christian? Do you go beyond your belief or what you profess to believe, and do you demonstrate your commitment, your belief, your trust in the scriptures? Do you conform to what Christianity is? Do you understand what it means to be a Christian, your responsibility as a Christian, or your responsibilities as a Christian? Do you affirm your faith, your profession of faith as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ and his teaching and his finished work and what the Lord has done for us and what our responsibility is in responding to him, not just in terms of who we are, but in terms of how we live? Do you understand what our calling is and what our life is supposed to reflect, or our lives reflect, in terms of how we treat others and as a demonstration of what it means to be a Christian, that is to be concerned for others in kindness and compassion and generosity? Do you understand when it comes to your state of mind that you are called to think and behave like a Christian? You are to always be in the mood of a Christian. And then do you understand that your attitude, your perspective, your outlook, and your approach is to be guided by a follower, or as a follower of Jesus Christ? And your thoughts and mental condition at any particular time must not be contrary to how a Christian is called to react to the situations that we encounter in life. The effect of that our mood and our condition and our circumstances have on us is not to be in contrast to who we are called to be and how we are called to live as Christians. And so our situations must not take us off course. We must be in a constant Christian state of mind. So obviously, as we now dig into the specific scripture passage, the intent is not to complete this sermon today, but just to introduce you to what we're going to look at and what it means to have a Christian state of mind. And as we look at what the Apostle Paul says here in Philippians chapter 1, starting at verse 25, I will read through chapter 2, verse 5, and then we will pick up, Lord willing, the next time. It says, "And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now hear to be in me. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." That is it for today. I want you to think on these scriptures, and we will continue through as we prepare to share these words when we meet again, if the Lord wills. And then we will continue through chapter 2, verse 18, after we launch from chapter 1, verse 25, if the Lord says the same. But until the next time, remember to tell somebody how sweet it is to trust in Jesus. God bless you.